With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, this is More Than Just a Podcast.
Podcast!
Season 7, Episode 5. This week, we're recording on a Wednesday. Obviously, we had a game on the Monday, a normal recording night. This week, I have got George. Where are you and what have you been drinking tonight?
I am in my house in the Outer Hebrides and I've been drinking nothing but water.
That's not true. Nigel, we've got Nigel Khan back. Where are you and what have you been drinking?
Tea. In my shed.
In your shed. Excellent. We'd expect nothing else. And this week, back again, because John's not around this week. We've got Ian Dale. Where are you, Ian? And what are you drinking?
I am in Pembury, near Tunbridge Wells. I have one cranberry juice this evening at a drink stew for my company. And I've got my miniature schnauzer as a bubba on my lap.
Excellent.
Tonight. You miss back by popular demand.
There was no popular demand.
Was there not? No.
No.
Sorry. I must have misread the comments.
Someone was nasty about me, weren't they, Sean?
Well, one person did call you rude and obnoxious. That is true.
Well, yeah, that is true as well.
but do you know what? If you took every on board every comment on social media, then I would be a lot of things. I did get a lot of grief, by the way, a lot of grief for doing an interview in the Sun this week.
Let's be fair, Sean, you are a lot of things.
That might be true. I don't know if you heard, but there was a fight over me in TalkSport, both Andy Goldstein and Jason Cundy. I'd swapped programs to do the extra time program on the next one, and they had a fight over me over their guests and said how they shouldn't be nicking guests.
They must be desperate.
Well, it is 1 o'clock in the morning. Let's be honest. I usually do the quarter past 12 blogging spot for the sports bar, and I move to the 1 o'clock spot. I don't know how many people are listening that time in the morning.
You came on my program once, didn't you?
I did.
Because we're not really allowed to do sports, so I don't know how I wangled that one.
You did wangle it. I think there was some political angle to it or something. Anyway, we all went to a game on Monday in the pouring rain, so let's talk about that. We won a game against Huddersfield, 2-0. I'm going to start with George to see if he slurs at all. How did you find your first home game of the season, George?
I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy the game so much. I think we looked the better team, but so we should, against a team like Huddersfield. And I think the goals we got were both lucky, and I think that's what we needed to get us going this year. Obiang's in particular was sort of funny as such.
We did look at each other, didn't we?
We did.
I did. 1-1-3 and went, how did that go in?
I'm not really sure how it went in, but yeah, I found it quite funny. that was our goal and that's what got us going this year. And I think that is what we needed to get us those 3 points and get our season underway. So as a whole, I think we deserve the win, but it's not the most convincing performance I've ever seen.
Was Slaven Bilic a tactical genius on dropping Chicharito and bringing on Andrei Ayew?
Well, the football on the pitch seems to say so, yeah. But I mean, at the time, we all were quite disgruntled at the fact that he's bringing off Hernandez. So I'm not sure. I mean, Ayew got a goal and an assist, I think. So it proved that it worked, but it's not what I would have done.
Did you have a good time in general? Is it good to be back at home in your beloved London Stadium, George?
Absolutely, yeah. I felt right at home, Sean. I walked in the turnstiles, I saw the popcorn stand, and I saw the Mr. Whippy around
Mr.
the corner.
Whippy, thought, great addition for this season. Claret and Blue slash puppies. And Ben and Jerry's has gone, but Magnum are on sale. And don't forget the fresh popcorn. Coloured popcorn.
And what topped it all off for me was the fact that I queued for half an hour before getting a beer and then was almost charged the non-early starter prices. So
now you've seen the email. I have spoken to someone very senior about your problems.
Yeah.
And she's promised to solve them. And it isn't the catering manager. You've seen the email. I forwarded it to you.
Is it Clunge?
I beg your pardon.
There's a throwback. let's move on to Nigel in the Outer Hebrides. What was it like watching the game from that high up, Nigel? In fact, remind people where you do sit.
Well, I've now moved into band 5.
This was your first time in your new seats. We haven't seen them yet.
I've actually moved forward, believe it or not. This is the how crazy their banding was. I've moved 3 rows forward and to the right, 25 seats, and saved myself, I don't know, £220. They had the club out to give me back. And I can still walk around and sit where I like because there's loads of empty seats.
did you use both your tickets? Did you use the your son's ticket?
No, he didn't come to the game because it was a school night.
Right, so you sold it on ticket exchange, did you?
No, you know I don't do that, and I don't mind admitting that I don't do that. But at the end of the day...
You're part of the problem, Nigel.
No, I ain't, because I did the same thing at the Bowling Grand. So I'm doing nothing to what I did before. I had 2 seats at the bowling. My kids never came. Well, I had to have 2 seats at bowling. I was in the family seating area. They wouldn't let me not have one. But... So if I want 2 seats, that's up to me, isn't it? It's my money. I'll do what I like.
I sold both mine. I got £4 each for each under 16 seat. I haven't got a problem with that.
Beers on Sean.
I could have got you more money than it.
I only paid £99 for them each, so £4 is not bad. Anyway, let's talk, Nigel. Well, your view was better then if you've moved forward. What did you think of the game?
Well, I actually thought it was a good game of football, to be honest. I thought West Ham played well. I thought Huddersfield had a go as well. I really enjoyed it. I honestly did. Even at 0-0, I thought, look, we're having a go. It's a lot different. We were playing a lot better than we had in previous games. The longer it went on 0-0, you could feel the tension, I think, in the crowd. And then he took Chicharito off. A lot of people, obviously, were upset.
What did you think then, though?
He's the manager. It's his decision. It's his job on the line. It's up to him, isn't it? At the end of the day, it worked. So, you know, we can all sit and go, oh, I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't do this. He did it, and it worked. So the man's kept his job for another week, you know, in this...
Well, we'll talk more about that later. I don't think he was ever getting sacked. But you must have thought, 72 minutes, no goals. You must have thought, because I did. 0-0, here we come.
No, I didn't. But what I thought was, this was a decision that could cost him his job. So it better work for him.
Yeah, me
because
too.
I honestly do believe, I think if he'd have lost that, especially after Palace getting rid of De Boer after 4 games, I think the pressure on the owners by the fans, I think they would have... I know what you're going to say, they don't sack their managers, but I think the amount of pressure they're on with everything else, you know, they would need to do something. And that's what they would do. Because the only thing as owners they can do now is sack the manager. They can't buy players till January. If they're going to sit there and take stick, in the end, they will buckle.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. What other highlights or lowlights were there? Who impressed on the day? Who was your man of the match? Who was the villain of the 90 minutes?
I couldn't fault anyone, to be fair. Antonio had a good game. It's good to see Chiarty back in the middle. It was difficult to try and work out, was he playing two up front or not? Chicharito did drift out at times. Andy Carroll drifted out at times, though. So whether they were chopping and changing, a lot of people just seemed to be picking up on Chicharito drifting. Carroll drifted out wide to pick the ball up. I'm not going to fault it. I thought it was a good game of football, and we played well.
You thought that, obviously, Chiarty, you know, should have, as a midfielder, unless he's just going to be a defender, should have buried one of those two chances he had.
I'm willing to say that I think Chiarty was a villain of the night. I think that was one of the worst games I've ever seen him play for West Ham.
I agree. Yeah. And how about Font?
I thought Font had a good game, to be fair. I don't know about everyone else.
Did all right.
I don't know. I mean, the other one was Chicharito. I thought he got dispossessed too easily, you know.
But that's what happens when you play a striker who is a poacher in the left side of midfield, in my opinion. I think he was being played out of position.
But was he the left side of midfield? He wasn't the left side of
midfield. I think he was. He was left attacking winger, and he had Antonio right attacking winger, and I think he had Andy Carroll up front. That's why I saw it.
So you saying he played five? What formation was it then? One up front, five at the back. That leaves four in the middle.
Yeah. So I think Hernandez wasn't playing striker, was he?
No, he was a winger.
Well, where was he when he hit the crossbar?
He was in the box, but that's what left wingers do when the right.
He's a fox in the box.
When the right wing is attacking, the left winger should be in the box, right, on the other side, and that's exactly what he was.
We did most of our attacking down the right with Antonio.
Of course, it was.
Yeah. Well, before we move on to Ian, I'll just tell you the official attendance was 56,977. So there were only 33 people missing on the day. There you go.
That's great.
So the stats are right. They can't be wrong. West Ham only had 43% of possession, obviously. That means Huddersfield had 57. West Ham had 19 shots, three of them on target. Huddersfield had 10 and two on target. I'm surprised they had two, if I'm honest with you. I'm surprised we only had three on target as well. But there you go. Ian, you told us last week you weren't going. What happened?
Well, I did go because old Brexit debate on Monday, it was supposed to have a vote at 10 and I was supposed to do a programme on CNN, and then it got shifted to midnight, so I thought, excellent, I can go. But Nigel, I had a spare ticket. You could have gone down to row 31. You need to give me your mobile phone number, mate.
I'll tell you, we'll sort it out and then just let me know where you sit. And if I know you're not going, I'll definitely go down and sit in your seat. I know it'll be empty.
Did you get wet at all, Ian? Because we saw a lot of people in the East Stand abandoning their seats when that rain was really coming down, like the first four or five rows. I don't think you are in those first three rows.
No, I'm in the front row of the upper tier, so it's row 31. But there was a bit of moisture, I have to say, but not a huge amount. But I did wonder about people at the front, because you think, well, if you're 31 rows back and you're getting a little bit of it, but not a lot you can do about that.
Yeah, because it made it look like there was less than 33 people missing for the night in the London Stadium. So tell us about your view of the game. Did it meet your expectations, first game of the season?
I really enjoyed it, I have to say. The only time I got bored was when Huddersfield just kept playing it from the right back to the centre back to the centre back to the left back and then back again and then back again again. So no wonder they had 57% of the possession. And they can certainly pass the ball, but to very little effect, it seemed to me. So they didn't really bring a lot to the party. Joe Hart didn't have a save to make until, I think, the 53rd minute. And even the two saves that he did make, neither of them were particularly difficult saves. So it's quite. It was good to get a clean sheet because, I mean, let's face it, that hasn't happened often lately. And I thought it was a really good all-round performance. I agree that Chiarty was probably the worst player. Obiang, I mean, the midfield was, I think, the dodgiest part. I thought the defence played well. Font, who I'm not a fan of, I thought he had a really good game. I thought James Collins had a really good game. And obviously Antonio, some of those runs that he did where he did like hit the ball quite long and then ran after it, and I've just skinned the fullbacks. I thought I have seen him do that before, but not quite so often in a game, and not to such good effect. So I thought he played really well. My man of the match though would be Andy Carroll, because first game for, well, what is it, since March, and I thought he was absolutely immense in the first half. That cross in the first minute that whoever it was didn't quite get on the end of, and that could easily have been a goal. They didn't know how to handle him, and he, when he's in that form, it's really difficult for the opposition. So I don't think he had any sort of great scoring chances, but I thought his contribution was brilliant.
He's so frustrating, isn't he? Because, you know, I almost make my mind up to write him off, and I understand, you know, the board had almost done that for this season, and then he comes and plays a game like that. It doesn't really make sense to me, because Gary Lewin said, we're not going to take chances. He did an interview about a week ago, 2 weeks, just before the international break, in the Noon Recorder, which I obviously get delivered to me in Surrey. He said, we're not going to take a chance on Andy Carroll. We're going to bring him back slowly like we did with Sacco. He'd play a maximum of 20 minutes on his first game, and then we'd build up to 30 minutes, then a half, and then build it. Well, he played for 81 minutes. What happened there about not risking him? But he seemed to last.
Well, it was sort of shit or bust, really, wasn't it? Wasn't it for Bilic? I mean, he had to take a few gambles, and I couldn't work out what the formation was throughout the whole game. Maybe I wasn't seeing it right, but I couldn't work out whether we were playing three at the back, five at the back, four at the back. Right. And I still don't know to this day what we were doing. And the sort of the, it looked like two up front on the team sheet, and then you thought, well, one of them seems to be on the wing all the time. So what was it, sort of three up front as we've been playing before? Because that was the only thing that
It was three on the back. I'll tell you why it is. I don't know if you heard, I put it up on Clarence Hugh, Ginger's interview on Talk Sport at the Sports Bar. He said it was three at the back. He should know. He was in there.
But if you had them, Zabaleta and Cresswell, they weren't playing tradition. Well, maybe Zabaleta was playing more of a wing back role, but where was Antonio playing then? Because I thought he must then play centrally, but he didn't really.
No. Yeah. I mean, maybe they didn't fall it, but certainly Ginge came on the radio on TalkSport and said, yeah, three at the back, two wing backs moving forward, worked really well. He was really chuffed with the, you know, the clean sheet, sang absolute praises about Andy Carroll, and sort of said, and he made a mission. He said, we were miles apart in the first three games. He said, we were so far away from the other teams. But, you know, we did it for the gaffer, normal stuff you'd expect him to say. You know, I was going to crack open a beer, and this was about midnight. It was on TalkSport. Who was your player that disappointed, if you want to single one or two out, Ian?
Well, Kouyaté, I thought, had a bad game for him, and I'm a huge fan of his. I think he's a really good player. I think Obiang hasn't been at the races really this season. Did they actually credit that goal to him in the end? Because if they did, he was very lucky.
No, I can't believe they did. I didn't look at it. What's the dubious goals committee or whatever they're called?
Surely they didn't. What happened to Noble?
Well, interesting.
Go on, spill the beans. You obviously know.
So, well, our senior source, and we ran this. I'm not saying whether we got in a bit of trouble of this. Our senior source told us that he was not in the plans for the weekend, for the Monday night game. Okay? So, Billage had decided that he was going to be on the bench. On Friday, conveniently, he tweaked a ligament and had to pull out of training.
He's injured, wasn't he?
So he then wasn't on the bench.
Right.
But, our senior source tells us he was already dropped before his convenient injury. I'm not saying he wasn't injured.
Well, you kind of are.
Well, I am.
Yeah, but hold up. Senior source. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get this right. You text me a line-up before from a senior source.
I don't. That would be very unprofessional for me to give you the lineup before the game, wouldn't it?
There was two errors in that lineup.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, the guess that you made then, that guess that you made wasn't a lineup. So I suggest perhaps sometimes you need to guess better.
Well, I didn't have. I told you before the game that Noble wasn't in it, didn't I?
Well, he was injured. Of course he weren't in it.
Was that released before the team came out?
Yeah.
And I said Andy Carroll would start.
Oh, you still made two mistakes, this. Though, Sean.
I did make two mistakes. Yeah. You're correct.
X didn't.
Look, do you disagree that whether Noble was injured or not, right, I'll ask each of you, should Noble be dropped anyway? After you saw the game on Monday, let's start with you, George. Noble, dropped or back in the team when he's fit?
Well, I'd love to think he would have put that chance Kiati had away, but I'm
are you going to drop him? All right, I'll go a bit further. If you're going to drop him, who are you going to replace him with?
No, I don't know. I don't think it's the wrong decision to rest Noble for a bit. I think I'm with Ian. I'm a big fan of Kiati's. I was disappointed with him on Monday, but I don't see Noble fitting in. If Kiati and Obiang are playing as well as they can do and are fully fit, I don't see Noble fitting in.
Okay. All right. Nigel, drop your buddy who was born in the same postcode as you, or put him back in the team once he's fit?
No, I wouldn't have dropped him, but he was injured, so he didn't get picked. Now, the man wearing the shirt playing well should always keep the shirt. So I wouldn't be bringing him back in place of Kiati or Obiang at the moment.
Yeah, but they're not playing well.
Well, that's your opinion.
Obiang and I thought a tremendous game on Monday night.
I didn't see a problem with the way they played. So I would keep him in, see what happens against West Brom. Yes, you know, I will always have Noble in the team because
he's a barking
one
boy.
Of the last play. No, he's not a barking boy because he's a proper West Ham boy. And he's one of the last links to what West Ham should be. Or should have been, or could have been.
You old romantic, you.
It's not old romantic. It's a representation of an area of London, isn't it? Which it, you know, they've sold that away now, and he's one of the last links to it. So I know there's other people that think the same as me, and funny enough, they're all people that come from the same area as me.
Mark Lawrison isn't one, and Mark Loro said.
Well, he's an Irishman from Preston.
He said in his prediction that we would win. I think he might even put us down for a 2-0 win and we should drop Noble. So obviously Billich on his 49th birthday read that and said, well, if Loro says so, let's drop him. Where do you stand on this, Ian?
If he had been fit, I think he would have played. I think Kiati is an automatic pick in midfield. If you're going to have two defensive midfield players, Kiati has got to be one of them. And okay, he did have a dodgy game, but I certainly wouldn't drop him for the West Brom game because of that. Obiang, I think, had a tremendous season last season. You said you thought he had a really good game on Monday. I don't know. I didn't see that, but maybe I wasn't watching it correctly. I don't know. So I you don't change a winning team, do you? I think that you keep them there. Fernandez is now injured. I don't know how long for. I'm a huge fan of his, and I think if he's fit, he's really going to challenge for a starting place this season, right through the season. So if Noble's fit on Saturday, I would have him on the bench, but I wouldn't have him in the starting lineup.
You're probably too busy eating popcorn and necking Claret and Blue slush puppies, weren't you? You get a padded seat, don't you, in 1966?
You do, but then you wouldn't notice that they were padded, frankly.
And is it true when they say they engrave your name on the seat, it's a sticker? Is that true?
It's not a sticker. It's on the underside of the seat. It's not on the sort of back of the seat. And it's like a little credit card thing they just put in a slot. It's not engraved at all. It's sort of typically done on the cheap.
Easily replaced.
So I've got my name on one seat and my mum's name on the other.
And what else do you get? Do you get a free programme or anything else?
You do get a free programme, but they don't put them on the seat. They give you a little book that you have to sort of tear off a little chit from. But, of course, I always forget to take the book, so that doesn't really help. Apparently, you get invited to things. I don't ever recall being invited to anything, but that's what they say now. You're going to get invited to meet the players and all the rest of it.
What is your view of the, you know, the stadium. Is it? Is it one season in, Ian? We've got the view from the others because we talked to them a lot about this. Is your view one season on changed?
I absolutely love it. I mean, I loved Upton Park, and my heart would still, like Nigel's, go back to Upton Park if we could, but we can't. It's a very different experience. I don't think it's a bad experience. I think there have been, obviously, the well-known teething problems. But in terms of it feeling like home, with every passing game, it gets a little bit closer to doing that. And I think the players feel that as well. And there were sort of little touches that you saw around the ground on Monday, which weren't there before, that they are doing their best to West Hamify it as much as they can. And over time, that will happen. I think we've all got to be a little bit more patient than some of us have been, Nigel.
well, but Ian, look, at the end of the day, you was happy with the move, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
So, I know
I was happy. I was happy in the sense that I thought it made sense for the development of the club as a business, and the fact that we would get better players. If you, as I say, it's a heart versus head thing for me, and in these, you have to sometimes let your head rule your heart.
Well, my head and heart were together, and I still think it was the wrong move. So,
but let's be honest, you did try and get a 1966 seat. If you could have got one, you would be sitting next to Ian with your padded seat and your name on it.
That's right, I did try and get a 1966 seat. But typical West Ham, they sold them out to all the plus tours that turned up with their mates. So the regular long-standing season ticket holders didn't get a look in. We couldn't move up.
And that is a disgrace, actually, that they did that. I mean, I had two season tickets at Upton Park, so obviously I then got two at the Olympic Stadium. But if they really did that and let people in who hadn't had season tickets before in that section, I think that's really wrong.
I mean, Ian's got a Sony Broadcast Award. What have you got, Nigel?
I'm looking at my newest The Pin trophy from the West Ham Till I Die golf day last year that I organised. And my
was there
hacker
a West Ham Till I Die
golf
was
trophy.
There a West Ham Till I Die golf day? Why didn't I go?
What? You weren't invited.
I only start the bloody site and I don't get an invite.
I actually made trophies that said West Ham Till I Die.
Bloody hell. You really did hate me, didn't you?
I'll invite you to the next one, don't worry. No, I didn't hate you. Not hate, that's a bit strong.
Oh, we've got to bond, Nigel. You've got to come and sit with me.
Oh, I'll take you up on that.
I'm on a YouTube channel just with like you two at the ground sitting.
Didn't we won that day in the box at the bowling flat?
Oh, that was a great
Cup
game, wasn't it? That was a fantastic evening. And we all got to hug Bianca, didn't we?
Well, yeah, I suppose so.
Oh, that comes to something when I'm more impressed by that than you are. But...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I want to know what happened with Bianca when she did the interview and they released 4 minutes. And apparently she did I spoke to her, she did a 25-minute interview with Slav and she said they hugged at the end. I want to know where the deleted scenes are and what happened with that, because the rest of that hasn't been released. She said she was quite hard on him. Moving on that, What do you think? I'm going to start with George on the relationship, because a lot's been said by Slav. You know, he said that the two players he was offered didn't quite happen like that. I was speaking to David Holsink earlier, who didn't quite understand that, because what
David,
he said...
David who?
Holsink.
Who?
Holsink.
Don't make me say it again.
Say it again. Holsink. Let's get this right, because I'm going to bring Dave after this and say...
I spoke to him earlier.
On
his way to sell as a wine merchant in New York State to sell something. And he...
Who did you speak to?
David Holsink.
Holsink.
No, Holsink.
Holsink.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Holsink.
Can I tell the story now?
Yeah, go for it.
So, he said, from all the interviews he'd seen, he thought that Slaven Bilic was saying he wasn't offered the players. But actually, if I've watched a number of these interviews, and what he actually says is it was taken out of context. In other words, he was offered these players, but it was in the middle of him sort of saying, would you want these players instead of Cavallo? And he was saying, I didn't want to be distracted. I thought I'd get Cavallo, so I stayed on it. He said, you know, the same happened with Chicharito. I was offered Chicharito, and then suddenly in comes, you know, do you want Giroud? Do you want Vardy? So it almost like he was offered these players. He did turn them down, but he didn't want to be distracted.
We were offered Vardy.
That's what Slav said in one of his interviews.
Reg Vardy from on the buses. Canning Town boy. truthfully, Reg Vardy was from Canning Town.
So let me go back to my question. My question, starting with George, is, you know, is there a rift between David Sullivan and Slaven Bilic? Because in his post-match interview, he went some way to say, you're taking parts of my press interviews out of context to try and make it more of a rift than it is. What do you think, George?
I think it's all one big embarrassment. I think the contradiction between the pair of them in the media in such a public way is embarrassing. They're supposed to be part of the same team, part of the same club. I don't understand why either of them feel the need to contradict each other. I think if I felt sorry for anyone, it would be for Slav, because, you know, David Sullivan is his boss. And if that was my boss doing that to me in such a public way and contradicting me in such a public way, I wouldn't be happy with it.
I'm not sure David Sullivan has relationships with managers in a conventional way. I think those who know him will know he spends a lot of time on email. He spends a lot of time in his room, in his office, in his Essex mansion. You know, the vision of him sitting down with a manager or anyone on a regular basis just doesn't happen. A lot of it's over the phone and via email.
So we think that's okay, do we? Is that a recipe for a successful football club?
But that is what you get with David Sullivan.
Well, that would be why none of his football clubs have been successful then, should I say.
Ooh. Nigel, I know you're a big lover of David Sullivan. I'm sure you joined in with the Dildo Brothers song on Monday night as the inflatable was thrown around in our section in block 113 and 114.
Yeah, but I was that far away, I couldn't hear what they were saying. I don't think there's a big rift between them. There's obviously, Sullivan likes to talk, we know that. Bilic normally doesn't really like to discuss what's gone on behind closed doors. He'll keep that private. Is it telling that he said something perhaps he felt obliged to? I don't know. I don't think he really said a lot. He just said it wasn't how it was led to believe. Sullivan, all he said was we offered him the players and he didn't take him. You know, threw him under the bus.
He threw him under the bus. Yeah.
You know, it that don't look good. But then again...
Motivation. It was to motivate the manager to win.
I don't think it was motivation.
If David Sullivan was on this podcast, he would tell you that was a motivational talk and it made him try harder, and that's why we beat Huddersfield on Monday night.
That's crap, because it ain't motivational. You know it ain't motivational, and he does it time and time again. So it's something in Sullivan that says, I'm the boss, I'll do what I like, I'll say what I like, and I don't care if I upset anyone. And I don't think he does care if he upsets anyone.
Nor do I. It's his train set. He can play with it whichever way he wants.
Exactly. But perhaps George... I think George has got a bit right there, and perhaps it is evident as to why, you know, he doesn't really move any teams really forward.
Well, I did pose the question, if there was one change... I saw a great tweet on social media that said, can we get a proper director of football and just buy David Sullivan a copy of FIFA, or sorry, Football Manager instead? And, you know, joking aside, there is a point to that. You know, some may argue that David Sullivan's view of transfers, etc., is sort of set in the Birmingham days, you know, and he's still got the mentality of doing transfers as he was in Birmingham, and the world's moved on from that. Would a director of football work better for West Ham? I don't know. I don't know if he could be that hands-off. I was going to get him as an interview today, but I spoke to Barry Fry, who's director of football at Peterborough. He was actually at the game on Monday night with Gold, still good friends with David Gold, and I spoke to him earlier today. He was at a reserve game for Peterborough, and he is going to come on the podcast in the next few weeks. But I asked him, you know, what is it like to be managed by David Sullivan? And he only can say great things about it. He think all us West Ham fans are mad, by the way, in, you know, being disrespectful to the board, calling board out. And he says, look, and I think I mentioned some of this last week, I had to do really quite a lot to get sacked, you know. I told them I would get them promoted. I would get them out of this division. I did. I got them relegated. And he said even when he was sacked, right, he was allowed to keep his car. He was allowed to keep his house. And he was paid money that he wasn't due. That's what he thinks of them. And they stick by the people. Before that... Trevor Francis was the manager for 6 years. He wanted out. He left by mutual consent. After that, you had Steve Bruce for 6 years at Birmingham. Again, he was still in place when they left.
No, he wasn't.
They come in.
No, he wasn't.
He was.
No, yeah, he wasn't.
So, what are we saying? So, why are we assuming that the fact that they keep their managers makes them brilliant owners?
No, I think sometimes, and I think Ian wrote about this, and I'm going to bring him in on this, they're too indecisive. They don't sack them fast enough, in my view.
Absolutely, and they don't want to pay the nomination.
Oh, well, that's the key. Because, as I said on TalkSport, I said the problem is they only let, you know, why did they let Avram Grant go? Because they had a clause in the contract that said if we got relegated, there's no compensation. They could sack him. Sam Allardyce, no matter all the polls we did, to get Allardyce out, mainly led by Ian and Nigel, who instigated them, you know, the ball didn't take any notice of that whatsoever.
I'll acknowledge my part if you acknowledge your part.
I was just facilitator for you and Ian.
Yeah.
They didn't take him, you know, his contract ran out before they got rid of him, and therefore I don't think they were sackers. My information before the game was he wasn't going to go even if we lost. Let's not panic. It's four games. They had no one to replace him, despite all the talk in the press. Ian, I know you wrote an article for West Ham Till I Die, talking about this. Talking about they're too indecisive. Can you tell our listeners what the gist of that piece?
Well, I think that they have made up their minds that he's going to go at some point. They're not going to renew his contract anyway at the end of the season, so it's a matter of when, not if. And if you've made that decision, you might as well make the decision, the proper decision, to get rid as soon as you can, because then it gives you ample time for a new person to bed in. I think they had thought seriously about getting rid of him after the Newcastle game. It would have been an ideal time, because you could then got the international break to find someone else. The problem is, who else is there? And I don't know where this comes from, that they wouldn't have got rid of him after... I mean, if we'd lost 3-0 on Monday to Huddersfield at home, I can't see any way that he would still be in the job now. Now, if we lose at West Brom, I think that's a different matter, maybe. But I think it is a case of when, not if. So I don't want to see him go. Like sort of a lot of people, I've always been a great fan of his. I think he does make sort of sometimes sort of rather odd decisions, but then doesn't every manager? and he was saved by not just by the result on Monday, but also by the performance, because it was quite clear that every player in that team was up for it, and that hasn't been the case all the time. And the fact that I think one or two of the players afterwards, they went further than they needed to in terms of sort of issuing words of support for him. So I think any question that we felt after the Newcastle game that he'd actually lost the dressing room, there's that Danny Gabaldon article, and we talked a bit about that last week, where he said, well, he didn't really say much after the game and sort of didn't say anything particularly to get them going again. I still feel that his time is coming to a close, which makes me feel sad, but I think it's inevitable.
Well, it would cost them £1 million, and that's a lot of popcorn and slush puppets. I don't think they're ready to pay that out. If they think and they believe he can keep them in the division, then I think then they're happy and say, we will sort this out, rather than do a knee-jerk reaction and put someone in. They would wait to the summer and say, well, if he can keep us in the division, we won't get relegated. Let's decide that.
The problem is that we're going through the Allardyce experience again in a way, because at the end of his last season, where everybody knew he wasn't staying, the players basically didn't really care anymore. Why would they in some ways? And so I can't remember the statistics, but in the last 7 or 8 games of that season, we didn't get hardly any points. Now, we can't afford to be in the position in March where if we don't get many points in April and May, we're going to be in danger of going down. Now, if by Christmas we're like in the I don't know, 8th, 9th, 10th, and we look fairly comfortable, then you can make a case for him staying. But I think it's quite dangerous if we're in the bottom half, sort of at Christmas or just after. I'd rather fear what might happen at the end of the season then.
Yeah. But I don't know who would replace him. There's been a lot of names mentioned. But the last time, a lot of people, including myself, and I'm sure a lot of people on this podcast, were calling for Eddie Howe, right? Eddie Howe has got, what has he got? 4 games, and 40. He hasn't won anything, has he? He's not got a single point. Is he under pressure? Should he be sacked? What, you know, on the same thing, should he have been sacked after his 4th game using the same thing as Huddersfield?
I don't know is the honest answer to that. I think he's performed miracles at Bournemouth, so I think he probably gets more latitude than most other managers.
I think Eddie Howe's, he's a different case, Eddie Howe. I think, you know, he's done a lot for Bournemouth, and he's turned Bournemouth into almost a comfortable Premier League team, so I think he deserves more time than a
Okay. Well, we'll move on from the manager. The last thing I want to discuss before we give our predictions.
Alright, can I just say one thing?
Go on.
I just want to prove you wrong. Go and check.
Go on.
Steve Bruce left Birmingham.
I knew you'd be checking
that. Bet your life I was going to check.
Sure, he didn't come back for a second time.
No, he didn't come back. Alex McLeish was appointed in November 2007, and Golden Sullivan left in 2009.
They didn't leave in 2009. Oh, yeah, they did, they actually. Did. So they sacked. Are you sure? I'm sure.
They didn't
I'll
sack Bruce. Bruce was allowed to leave because that's when the Chinese geezer tried to do the first takeover and didn't get all the money. Bruce was worried that he'd lose his job, so jumped ship to Wigan. Actually, Golden Sullivan.
Oh, well, there you go. It must. The point was, it didn't cost him any money.
No, that's right. Yeah, it didn't cost him, but he wasn't.
But I want to talk about the Baggies game coming up, because I wrote something on Clarence Hugh tonight, which has caused a little bit of controversy about. Could Chicharito be dropped? And I've said, you know, Tony Pulis likes to play a very direct game. Joe Hart's come out and said it's not going to be for the football purists on Saturday. And I've said, well, I wrote a blog saying, well, I could see him being dropped because they want Andy Carroll up front. You can't really drop AU.
Yes, you can.
And Arnautović will be on the left wing in his next one. Well, you answer that. So you start with you, Nigel. What's the lineup then? You think Chicharito fits in? Little P fits into a game against the Baggies on Saturday?
Yeah, I would stick with the same lineup. I'd like to see. Personally,
start with so you start the same. You say don't change a winning team. Yeah?
No, yeah, don't change a winning team. I mean, I prefer 4-4-2. That's because I'm an old dinosaur. But I think 4-4-2 will work better when we get Lanzini and Arnautovic back. I think you'll have to go to a 4-4-2 then.
Well, Arnautovic will be available for West Brom, won't he?
Yeah, but he can... because where do you... I can't see him slotting him in. If you looked at the team we played Huddersfield, how would you play Arnautovic and Lanzini in that team?
You couldn't.
It would be a bit difficult. You couldn't. So therefore, with Arnautovic and with Lanzini, you would have to go to a 4-4-2, ditch Font, flat back four in midfield, two up front. I think that'll be a better team then. Perhaps until Lanzini's ready, we'll stick with the 3-5-2.
But you're going to stick with Chicharito on the left wing, yeah?
No, not on the left wing. Players can roam the pitch at the end of the day. As soon as they cross that white line, they'll run where they want to run. You know, half the time the manager's shouting at them, they probably can't even hear him. I've asked professional footballers this, and they've all told me exactly the same. When they cross the white line, 90% of it is down to them, what happens on the pitch. They make the mistakes. The problem is the manager's the one that carries the can.
Yeah. Well, I did see... it's funny, for about 5 minutes, I wasn't watching the game. I was watching Bilic. And do you know what? He never stays in his technical area. He's on the pitch some of the time. He's out in the other technical area. He's out of his box. He's so animated, holding his hip, jumping up and down. He almost does every single kick. George, your lineup. Who do you drop? Do you start with winning team? What do you do against one of Tony Pulis's teams?
I think you start the way we started on Monday. I think I agree. Don't change winning team. I know RU came on and made a difference, but I don't think Hernandez deserves to be dropped. I think he'll start the same way we started on Monday, but ideally I think I'd agree we go 4-4-2 and start two up front. That would be my ideal, but I don't think...
Ian, any change from the other two?
I wouldn't change the personnel, but I do think if you're going to play 3-5-2, which is effectively what we did on Monday, you've got to let Chicharito play off Andy Carroll, and that didn't happen really on Monday, did it? They didn't really combine at all, and that's what I think we all hope can happen, that they will actually be a fairly lethal striking partnership. But I didn't see much evidence of that, even though I thought Carroll had a really good game. So I hope that there'll be a bit more connection between the two on Saturday if they do start. And if we think we play quite well, Why would you change anything? I don't think there's a case for Ayew to start. Yes, he has actually scored a few goals, and his contribution on Monday was good for the last 20 minutes. It clearly meant quite a lot to him to have scored that goal. He really celebrated in, a really genuine way. But I don't think I would... I mean, who do you drop if he comes in? I don't know who that would be.
Well, I think you drop Font out. For me, you drop Font and you put Obonna in.
No, but that changes the whole formation, doesn't it?
I think it's a 4-5-1 and you put Andy Carroll up top, and I just see us, and as Hart said, it won't be a purist game. You know, at one point, if they try and stop us playing the game, I see them going back to Route 1 football and banging them up to Andy Carroll as a way through, just to get a result.
Which they did a bit on Monday, didn't they?
They did a little bit, but not very much, but I can see that happening more at West Brom to try and get a result and use Andy Carroll on his own up front. And we'll see.
Well, we get a result on Saturday and we could go 10th. I mean, how different.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
6 days and we'll be bottom.
Yeah. So let's go predictions before we finish. Let's start with you, George. We've got two games, but I think we're back on Monday, aren't we, before the Bolton game. So let's just go with the Baggies. What's your prediction for the Baggies?
I'll go for a 1-1 draw, and I'll take that all day long.
Who's scoring it?
Andy Carroll, why not?
Oh. Nigel, from your shed.
Oh, the dreaded Pulis. Oh, you know, another one I love. Being positive, we'll get a draw. But I wouldn't like to think we would, actually. 0-0.
0-0. Oh, dear.
Cheery Nige.
Yeah. Come on, Ian, bring us up.
1-0, Antonio.
That's
1-0, Antonio. I'm going to go for a 3-0 win with an Andy Carroll hat trick.
When was the last time we beat a Pulis team?
I don't know. Yeah, you'll know. There's no point in me making up and trying to bluff you because you'll just look it up. And you're like that.
I think it'd be 2 years ago, West Brom away, when we beat them 3-0 or 3-1, was it?
Yeah.
Was it?
It's a couple of years ago. We've
for some reason, you like the truth, Nigel. You like to look up
it's
facts.
It's strange that, isn't it? It's strange that I don't make it up and go along and put it down as facts like you do.
and publish it on a website.
The facts.
There's people like you calling me out when I get stuff wrong.
I know.
Anyway, I think that's all the time we've got tonight. We have been running the podcast for quite long of late because there's been a lot to talk about. We'll be back next week and hopefully John will be returning and we'll be back to normal. It will be the one without Ian Dale next week.
Charming.
But thanks for listening. I've been Sean.
Nice one, Sean.
He's dropped you already.
Thanks for coming. Ian.
George, you've been...
I've been allowed to be here, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, you weren't that drunk, actually. Nigel has been...
The same.
And our stand-in presenter, Ian, has been...
Billy No Mates, by the sound of it.
So... There we go. It's a wrap. Come on, you Irons.
Come on, you Irons.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.